Happy New Year to everybody. Obviously, a very different show than we were expecting to have today, coming in after having some vacation time and being with friends and family and getting a chance to catch up with Emily and Taylor and Al and everybody after not seeing each other for a couple of weeks. We will, and we will do all of those things, and we will celebrate the new year eventually. But obviously, with the events of last night in Cincinnati, DeMar Hamlin suffering cardiac arrest in the first quarter against the Bengals. 9 minutes of CPR were administered to him before he was ultimately put into an ambulance and taken to a local hospital where he remains in critical condition. He remains sedated, and he is with his family. We're still waiting for more information to come out as well. As far as the footballness of it all goes, the NFL has said that the game will not be resumed this week and that this week's schedule will be the same as it was to be expected. They're going to try to figure it out from there. Alan and I have been spending a lot of time talking about how we felt and saw, obviously, a very different perspective from our next guest, DeMarco Farr, who not only is a Super Bowl champion, but a longtime NFL player. And DeMarco, I would imagine that as a former player, you feel even more acutely the fear and the dread seeing what happened to DeMar Hamlin last night.
Oh, man. I was watching, you know, as a fan, just like everyone else. And, you know, it's just immediately text messages, texting and all that sort of stuff went out about prayers up and, you know, worrying about this man. You know, look, I'm not the only one in my family that played football, large football family. So we have this group text that we're all on and, you know, everyone's just pouring in like, oh, this is so tragic. Prayers up. It's weird, man. And I agree. I don't know. I'm not sure if I would be able to resume play if I saw somebody go down like that on the field. I know I wouldn't be able to play if it was a teammate or somebody I did play with him before, and I saw that happen. You know, you work yourself up into such a state, such a trance to even take the field. I mean, you're more human than human. Think about it. Most people spend their days avoiding collisions. Sundays is about seeking them out. So you're in such a state. And when you see something like that happens, it kind of breaks that trance and you're rushed back into reality. Like, this could happen to me. So yeah, it's weird. It was heartbreaking. It's still heartbreaking. I didn't sleep. I kept checking my, you know, Twitter to see if there's any updates on his condition. But yeah, it's just, I feel the same way you guys feel, like the rest of the world feels. Like, the game doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is his health and his well-being right now. So whoever you call God, lean on your faith. If you're atheist or agnostic, send up good vibes, whatever. The only thing that matters is this kid's health right now.
DeMarco, it's, you know, Travis and I spent a little time on this. The actual hit, and I think this is what was kind of scary for T. Raj and I, who are just, you know, football fans, right? Like everybody else watching. It didn't seem like it looks like just a normal NFL hit, right? It's not, and this is actually a player on the defensive side is the one who, you know, obviously DeMar Hamlin in that situation. Just when you see the play and when you see the hit, does anything look odd to you, or does it, like we mentioned, does it just look like a regular football play?
Okay, so I'm not a NASCAR aficionado, but the wreck that killed Earnhardt did not look that hard to me. And I think it was only one announcer that said, ooh, that looked bad when it happened. I'm like, really? I've seen worse? You know, I'm thinking cars rolling over, going to the stands. That didn't look like much. And sure enough, that's what killed him. So, look, it could happen to anyone at any time. I mean, this is a weird sport. There are some big, strong guys running at top speed, and if you hit them wrong or incorrectly, bad things can happen. I think we saw an example of that. I'll say this. When we were up in Cincinnati to watch the Rams scrimmage Cincinnati, I did notice how big T. Higgins looks. 6'2", about 215, maybe 220, and he's a solid rock. So some people don't get it. When these guys are running in the middle of the field like scalded dogs, it's like trying to get in front of a horse, you know, and if you hit that wrong, you're going to hurt yourself. So, you know, taking a guy chest up is always going to be dangerous. But, yeah, I mean, it looked routine, but, I mean, we're not down on the field. We're not taking the impact. Somebody did ask, like, what's the hardest hit I've ever taken as a football player? They always throw out guys like the bus, Jerome Bettis or Eddie George. It's not the biggest guys that give you the trouble. It's the fast guys that run into you, and they get to the impact point before you're ready. That's how you get hurt. That's when you break things. So That's what I saw watching the replays. Maybe he just wasn't ready for contact and just, you know, hit the guy wrong, and that's just the way it happened. Hmm.
DeMarco Farr joining us here on Travis and Sliwa. And DeMarco, you said something, I don't know if I've ever heard it put quite like that before, that, you know, most of us go through our lives trying to avoid collisions, and Sundays you guys go out there looking for them, you're seeking them out. When you play in the NFL, when you play at that level, college football like you did at the University of Washington, and even high school football, do you take that understanding of just how dangerous it is that what you guys do for a living is one play away the whole time? Or does it take something like an accident involving DeMar Hamlin or something like that to kind of remind you of just how tenuous your health is when you're out on that field?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, that's part of, I'm not sure about high school or Pop Warner, but definitely college and pro, when you start to move up and it's bigger, stronger, faster. This is just my perspective. When I'm sitting in my locker, and I used to hear the strength coach run in, and he would say 2 minutes. That means 2 minutes from going out. So whatever music I got going, whatever's getting me going that day, it's not to jazz me up. It's to get me over that hump to where I'm not worried about my safety anymore. But every single time, Trav, every single time I left the locker room, put that helmet on and strapped it to my head and started to walk into the arena, I would think this could be the last time I walk off under my own power. Mm-hmm. So there is a part of you that says, so be it. Let's rush into it headlong. So I think that's the mindset you have to be in. You've heard Aaron Donald when he's mic'd up and he starts talking to himself, be great, be great, be great. He's trying to bring himself to a different level, to be more human than human. So, yeah, I mean, it crosses your mind, but immediately once you step on the field, it leaves your mind. That's why when things like this happen, it brings you right back to reality, and you're like, man, it's going to be hard to start playing again when you see somebody, you know, taken off the field like that on a stretcher.
DeMarco Farr taking some time to join us here on the Travis and Sliwa Show. DeMarco, you know, I can't talk, and I think, you know, most people who consume the NFL or consume sports will never have a perspective of I'll never have a true player perspective, a true athlete perspective. Would you have a message for fans that are out there that I think puts into perspective? We were talking about how somebody gets injured and it's, all right, he tore his ACL, he's out 9 months, and who else is coming back in? Do you think there's enough perspective from just regular fans, people who consume sports, and don't see a perspective from an athlete where, like you mentioned, this is your livelihood, this is somebody's health. At any moment, somebody can go down and be down for 6 months or 12 months, high ankle sprain, tore ACL. What? I'm just curious to get from an athlete's perspective, because I think the last 14, 15 hours have put some stuff into perspective of how, what kind of message would you have for fans out there that look at athletes as, they're athletes, they're these superstars, that they're not normal, they're not human beings?
Well, you know, okay, the guys, and there are people out there, they're gonna try to use this as a way to put out a hot take against the NFL, come up with solutions to this, like this was preventable. So I would just say, lean on the athletes, lean on the guys that have been out there, and how they feel, and take what they say and run with it. I thought Ryan Clark was outstanding, and I'm so glad he was there. Booger McFarland too, all those guys, the way they handled it was perfect. Look, there is no game after this. There isn't. There's no football game after this. It does not matter. This stuff does not matter. All that matters is we have a player down, and let's care about him. Let's get him to where he needs to go, and let's make sure he's going to be okay before we start playing again. So, yeah, it's hard, man. And look, I love my wife. I do. I love my kids. I love my family. But I have teammates that have literally protected my ass from danger. Guys I would go to the mat for, step in front of a bus for. It's different. It's hard to explain. I mean, it's more than just we suit up together and we work together. We are teammates. We are in this together, and I will go to the end of the earth for you. When I saw Stephon Diggs trying to get in, he refused to leave the hospital until he saw his teammate. I understand that 100%. There's a bond that will never be broken. Even if you have, you guys didn't win a game for 16 years. If we suited up next to each other and we stepped into the fight willingly together and we protected each other, that bond will never be broken. Mm. Ever, 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 ever. So if you want to know how to feel, listen to the guys that have been out there. When they give you the all clear, then it's okay to feel good about the game. Right now, it's not about football. It does not matter.
DeMarco Farr joining us here on Travis and Saliwa, 7 years in the NFL. And DeMarco, it's interesting that's where you went, because it was literally the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, which was being a member of a team in a sport that is this dangerous, that has this level of violence, that has the risks involved that you all willingly accept to go out there and do that. And that was the part for me last night. I mentioned this to Al a few minutes ago, was seeing the look on Stephon Diggs' face, was seeing the look on Jaquan Johnson's face, and really just about everybody else that was out there. It was not just, you know, Travis and Alan watching this on television, going, oh my gosh, DeMar Hamlin is in real trouble, and it's scary, and you're hoping for the best possible outcome. But seeing the people that do all the things that you just said, that have gone into battle, that trust each other, not just to run the right route or pick up the right block or run the right stunt, trust each other with your well-being, your physical health. It's just an entirely different level of empathy, I think, that players like yourself can understand that players like Diggs and others are going through.
You have to trust. I mean, this is, I know it sounds like a grotesque, but this is what the hazing thing is about, because I know it sounds bad, but I have to trust you. To trust you, I have to be able to trust you. I have to see what you can go through. What's your breaking point? Because I talked about this with Maurice Jones-Drew and about Eric Bieniemy when he was teaching Maurice to run the power. Power is when you bring a guard and tackle and they run through and you got to run behind it. He said you have to run through the smoke. You have to run and trust that they're going to pick up those guys and make those blocks. You just run like a scalded dog through that hole. Now, if they miss one or if a guy misses the block, you're going to get your head taken off in there. But that's the trust I have to have in you to make that work. Same thing on any side. Matthew Stafford, I have to trust my protection. Receivers, I have to trust that you're going to put it in the right spot. How we practice, if not, not only is it going to be incomplete, I can get hit. I can get hit hard and get hurt. So there's a lot of trust that goes with it. So these men come together, and they become your brothers, and you will do anything you can to help your brother and to keep him from harm. So when you see somebody like that go down, and it just, like you said, it takes you out of that trance you're in to play the game in the first place, and it brings you back to flesh and blood reality. Like, this is dangerous, and he's hurt. So the last thing I'm thinking about is how to advance the football another yard. All I want to know is he going to be okay?
DeMarco, a final one from me. Just I'm curious, and, you know, every time you come in studio and we talk NFL and we're talking, here's the standings and this is what this team needs to do and everything else, where do you feel about player safety right now in the NFL? Are you comfortable with where they are? Are you comfortable with the measures that the NFL has taken? Are you comfortable with the progress over the last, let's say, 10, 15 years? And does yesterday, if you were comfortable, does yesterday maybe take some of your comfort level away?
Well, you know what I'm more impressed with? I'm more impressed with coaching and these players, these current players today, especially on the defensive side. I thought it was, you know, back when we first stepped into the player safety era, there's no way you can train a professional safety not to take your head off when there's a guy coming across the middle. There's just no way. And sure enough, I discounted coaching. I was wrong about that. Coaches can coach that better, and I've seen that. Guys have lowered their aiming point. They've lowered their targeting point. So they're taking the head out of the game, bringing the shoulder back in. I think Nick Scott, the Rams safety, is a great example of how to hit legally and still hit hard and be ferocious. So, yeah, I think player safety is ever-evolving, but what I'm more impressed with how the players have adjusted and how the coaching has adjusted to today's NFL.
DeMarco, one last one before we let you go. And obviously this is something that no one's terribly concerned about today, or probably even tomorrow, or maybe not even in the next several days. But eventually the Buffalo Bills are going to have to play football again. And eventually they're going to have to go out there and play and play without him. What must that be like for the men in that locker room to have to try? And I think I've said this to you. I know I've said it to Kirk a million times, that I am as impressed with professional athletes' ability to compartmentalize and focus on the task at hand as I am anything physical that you guys are able to do. But I just don't know how anybody could do that, having seen what we saw with DeMar Hamlin last night. When it's time to have that thought, when it's time to, okay, we need to go back and do what it is we need to do, how do you do that?
Well, give them time to grieve, that's number one, and process, but it's going to turn. It's going to turn from, you know, out now, because you're never going to not be concerned until he's upright and right next to you in the locker room. Mm. But it's going to turn into a galvanizing thing. You're going to want to win for him. I'll give you an example. When I was in college, the University of Colorado had just lost their starting quarterback. I believe he passed away to cancer.
Salonessi.
And yeah. We played them the next week. Mm. We played them the very next week. And look, it wasn't even about us. They could care less that we were out there with them. They were playing for him. It was emotional. I mean, these guys are scoring touchdowns, getting sacks. They weren't celebrating. They were crying. They were playing for their brother. They were playing for their teammates. So that's the job. Once you understand and you appreciate that he's getting, you know, the highest level of care, that he's being looked after, it's going to turn into, I'm going back out there for him. So whatever you were playing for before this is gone. Everything else after this is because of him. And why you're doing it is because you want to honor that guy.
DeMarco Farr joins us each and every week talking about the Rams. And obviously today, DeMarco, very different circumstances, talking about DeMar Hamlin. Appreciate your insight and your feelings. And thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, DeMarco.
You got it, guys.
All right, talk to you soon. Yeah, it just, you know, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this, Slay. I just would imagine for DeMarco and for Kirk, who we'll talk to in about an hour from right now, just a very different feeling knowing that, hey, I've been in exactly the same spot that DeMar Hamlin was standing last night. And the thing that you hope never happened to him. And, you know, how do you deal with it, and how do you move forward, and how do you try to compartmentalize all of these things, not knowing? And I think, you know, like you and I have said multiple times today, the not knowing of it all right now is probably one of the most difficult things.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing his perspective. And I think that's the way he talked about their brotherhood, the way he talked about, even at the end there, that example of facing a team, you're asking them, hey, at some point the Buffalo Bills will be back on the field. How do you play through that? It's interesting. It's a completely different perspective.
He mentioned Ryan Clark, too. We'll hear from him. You'll hear from Dominique Foxworth, Mike Tomlin, a couple of cardiologists as well along the way. It's all coming up on Travis and Slewa, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, Al, I think one of the things that has made what we saw last night so upsetting and so difficult to process is, you know, when we watch sports, there's an understanding that guys can get hurt. There's an understanding guys can get hurt badly. Whether it's, you know, orthopedic broken bones, and obviously, you know, guys ending up in paralyzed states and things like that. But last night was the first time I've watched a sporting event in a really long time, or seen a story where I was deeply concerned about whether or not somebody was going to survive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we still are where we are this morning. It's not just that, oh, we saw a terrible accident, which we did. It's not just that we saw somebody get badly injured, which we did. It's we don't know We don't know the end game. We mm-hmm. don't know what's going to happen sure. next. We're still sitting here. You know, this happened, you know, early evening last night, and here we are late morning the next day, and we still don't know what DeMar Hamlin's prognosis is. And I that's one of the things that's really difficult to deal with, is the not knowing and seeing what we saw last night and knowing just how serious it was. It
has a lot to do with it. I think that's everything. I think that perspective of it, we've all kind of seen, and this is just us being big fans of sports, whether it's college football, college basketball, NHL, NFL, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Things happen, and it's, oh my gosh, that guy, he's going to be out for at least a year with that type of an injury.
Right.
Right. And we look at it, and, you know, unfortunately, and I think we just get caught up in this, it's almost, we turn the page so quick of, hey, this player is going to be out for X amount of months, he's got this injury, and then we turn the page. And I think in this situation yesterday, which is, by the way, not that much different today than the way you felt yesterday, because like you said, there has not been that much information that has come out. Somebody fighting for their life. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, it's not something, when I hear people like Herm Edwards, who's been around the NFL or been around football for as long as he has, and say, hey, in 55 years, I don't have an example of this, it does put it into perspective. And I think these last, let's say, 14 hours kind of makes you know, and I don't know how long this will last for, but at least for me specifically, changes your perspective on sports. It's not just, hey, this is a game, they're going out there, you got fantasy football, you got this, and all the ups and downs of a team winning and losing. At least in the moment, it certainly gives a little bit different of a perspective.
For sure. And even watching this, I understand that when you watch an NFL game, you might see somebody get badly hurt. I understand that. You might see somebody, you know, look, to use it, Alex Smith breaks his leg, and it's terrible to see, and all of these things. But this is different because we were all watching this and we're unsure. Not that he broke his shoulder or maybe even had a neck injury or one of these things, but we've seen the thumbs up guys come up. We just don't know. And it was CPR on the field. You hear words like cardiac arrest. You just said a second ago, the man's in the hospital right now, presumably fighting for his life, and that we don't know, that even in your darkest recesses of your brain, when you turn on an NFL game, you never think you're going to see that. You think somebody could get hurt. You think somebody could have a very devastating, life-altering injury. But what we saw last night, to your point, for what Herm Edwards said, we had not seen this before. This is something new. This is something that, you know, I didn't even know was a thing that could happen, that you get hit just right in your chest at just the right moment, just the wrong moment, I guess, and your heart can stop beating. This is new, I think, for a lot of people, myself included.
And I think, you know, even when you say, yeah, I know somebody can get injured when I tune in on a Sunday or a Monday or a Thursday night football game, but that's not top of mind, right? Right. Like, it's not. You're thinking about just the actual game and the, you know, the X's and O's of it. You're not thinking of this, and that obviously changed everything.
So here's the latest. He is still in a Cincinnati area hospital. DeMar Hamlin is. He is sedated. He is in critical condition. The NFL has announced that the game from last night will not be resumed. There is no makeup date on the schedule as of right now.
Yep. Resumed this week.
Right. This week's schedule, there are, I believe, two games on Saturday and everybody else is playing on Sunday, will remain as is. Mm-hmm. They're not going to alter that schedule. So that's the football component of it. We do have a little bit of news from DeMar Hamlin's family, who issued a statement earlier this morning, which reads, "On behalf of our family, we want to express our sincere gratitude for the love and support shown to DeMar during this challenging time. We are deeply moved by the prayers, kind words, and donations from fans around the country. We also want to acknowledge the dedicated first responders and healthcare professionals at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center who have provided exceptional care to DeMar. We feel so blessed to be a part of the Buffalo Bills organization and to have their support. We also want to thank Coach Taylor and the Bengals for everything they've done. Your generosity and compassion mean the world to us. Please keep DeMar in your prayers. We will release updates as soon as we have them. Thank you from the Hamlin family." So that's kind of where we are. The Bills have issued a statement, the Bengals, the NFL, and now the Hamlin family.
There was, during that kind of moment yesterday where we're not really sure if the game's going to be played or it's not. We don't really know too much of the details. It was interesting, Trav, kind of seeing the they pan into the audience. They pan into the crowd. You got Buffalo Bills jerseys. You got Bengals jerseys. And it really is. I mean, I you had said this earlier. You hate to have – it takes moments like this to bring people together. Or maybe you're just – you're watching sports. It's like, yeah, that's my team. I hate the other team.
Right.
And I hate that you're wearing that jersey. It has been an interesting interesting since, obviously, the incident happened, how much people have kind of galvanized together
in this way.
I mentioned this, and it was part of a little bit earlier. We were talking about the Chasing M's Foundation Community Toy Drive, which is DeMar's. This actually is a fundraiser that goes towards DeMar's community. It's DeMar Hamlin, who's actually the one that organized the fundraiser. They had a goal of raising $2,500 for what he was trying to accomplish for his local community.
Toys for kids in the area.
And now it's up to $4.4 million. And there's 162,000 donors that have donated to it. Just kind of, I go back to this and, you know, you it's unfortunate. It takes a moment like this to kind of bring people together. But if you're just kind of trying to find some positivity, if that's possible, it's a beautiful thing how people have come together.
So Ryan Clark was on SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt, and I think that he was incredibly eloquent and very emotional discussing his feelings. And, you know, Ryan Clark has a unique perspective of having been on the other side of this. He has been the player who has been, you know, badly injured and had his teammates worried about him, and seeing his teammates come to him and wanting to help him through a difficult situation. Here's Ryan Clark last night on SportsCenter.
I think the first thing, this is about DeMar Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a young man at 24 years old that was living his dream, that a few hours ago was getting ready to play the biggest game of his NFL career, and there's probably nowhere else in the world he wanted to be. And now he fights for his life. And when DeMar Hamlin falls to the turf, and when you see the medical staff rush to the field and both teams are on the field, you realize this isn't normal. You realize this isn't just football. And so many times in this game, and in our job as well, we use the cliches, you know, I'm ready to die for this. I'm willing to give my life for this. It's time to go to war. And I think sometimes we use those things so much, we forget that part of living this dream is putting your life at risk. And tonight, you know, we got to see a side of football that is extremely ugly, a side of football that no one ever, the side of football that no one ever wants to see, mm-hmm. or never wants to admit exists. When you see both teams on the field crying in that way, your first thought is DeMar Hamlin.
Yep.
The second thought is his family. And this isn't about a football player, right? This is about a human. This is about a brother. This is about a son. This is about a friend. This is about someone who is loved by so many that you have to watch go through this. I dealt with this before, and I watched my teammates for days come to my hospital bed and just cry. I had them call me and tell me that they didn't think I was going to make it. And now this team has to deal with that, and they have no answers. Mm-hmm. And so the next time I think that we get upset at our favorite fantasy player, or we're upset that the guy on our team doesn't make the play, and we're saying he's worthless, and we're saying you get to make all this money, we should remember that these men are putting their lives on the line to live their dream. And tonight, DeMar Hamlin's dream became a nightmare for not only himself, but his family and his entire team.
So that's Ryan Clark last night on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And Al, I want to go back to something he said at the beginning, and we can certainly pick this up on the other side as well. But this isn't normal. This isn't football. This is something that is really unprecedented in my life as a sports fan of watching these things where, you know, guys get hurt. But this was something so out of the ordinary, so unexpected on something that is a relatively benign collision, or at least appeared to be a relatively benign collision in the moment that it happened. We'll pick that up on the other side. It's Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN. DeMar Hamlin remains in critical condition at a Cincinnati area hospital. He is sedated, and that is what we knew last night, Al. It is what we continue to know today. We're still waiting to get news, hopefully good news, hopefully some news that'll all make us feel a little bit better about what we saw last night. Obviously an incredibly scary situation. And I go back to what Ryan Clark said right there before the break, that, you know, this isn't normal. This isn't football. Like I've mentioned to you a few times, we see guys get hurt in the NFL. It's unfortunately part of the business.
In sports, right?
Yeah, but in the NFL in particular, the collisions, the violence, the physicality of it all is part of the reason we like it, that these guys are so tough and they're so athletic and they're so resilient, and we see them pop up after some things. You go, okay, that he's never going to play football. And they pop right back up and go back to the huddle. It's like, it's amazing to watch. And then you see what you see last night, where DeMar Hamlin is making a tackle on T. Higgins. Yeah. It looks to be the same tackle that we've seen hundreds of times in hundreds of NFL games. He gets back on his feet. He stands up for a second or two and then collapses again. And then we find out shortly thereafter that he'd gone into cardiac arrest, 9 minutes of CPR administered on the field. And it isn't something that we're familiar with. It isn't part of why we like it. It isn't part of anything other than seeing someone in a terribly dangerous situation surrounded by people that care about him. And it was terribly difficult to watch, and still, quite frankly, is difficult to talk about.
Well, we have spent, even now as we sit here, an hour and a half into the show, and a lot of conversation that we're having, and a lot of the feelings, I guess you can say, or our perspective, whatever the case is, kind of changes for a quick second your perspective on sports. I'll tell you kind of what I mean by that. When you hear DeMarco is a perfect example, and taking a listen to DeMarco, I think he can give a perspective that I can't look at.
Sure.
But it kind of just takes away the whole sports part of it, right? It's just, we spend 15 hours a week, you and I, just doing the show, and we're talking about players, their performance, and the standings, and where's this team going, and what are you doing in free agency, and what is this. You almost kind of, you breathe, every breath you take is about your team and what the other team is doing. And yesterday was a moment, and listen, I'll tell you, I'm in the middle of, when this happened yesterday, I didn't really know all the details. I'm doing the Laker game, right? Mm-hmm. So Lakers are taking on Charlotte. So I don't really even have the details of what's going on, nor am I, you know, game's on in the background, but I got the volume turned down, obviously. Sure. I'm watching the Lakers game, doing the post game and everything else. And once the pieces kind of start coming together, it kind of puts you in a perspective of, I really don't care what I'm doing. I don't care about the result. I don't care about the sports part of it. I don't care about, it's so interesting how quickly none of that mattered. And I the only reason why I explained it that way is because we do this on a day-to-day basis. And there are people who tune into us and to the show, and this is what they want, with the reaction of your team and everything else. Damn, does it mean nothing? I mean, it just kind of puts it, that it's a game. Put that game to the side. This is real life.
It the story you were telling about, you're working last night, you're doing the Laker game, and you get the news in bits and pieces, and it's coming in. And I was at the Rose Bowl with my family last night, and we're sitting around in the Arroyo there where the stadium is. And anybody that's ever been to a game at the Rose Bowl, especially the Rose Bowl game, knows that it's a cellular black hole. There just nothing goes in or out, or it takes a very long time for anything to go in or out. And my family and my group were sitting there, and we were drinking coffee and chit-chatting and whatnot. And all of a sudden, you could see somebody said, "Did you see what happened in Monday Night Football?" And you're getting these little bits and pieces of what it was. Yep. And look, we've been around this a long time, and you said that this player got hurt. You're like, oh, and your first thought is, well, who's his replacement? Your first thought is, what does it do to their offense or defense? What does it do to their chances to win the game? Because you just become accustomed to players getting hurt, and they move them aside. You know that we talk about this too, that one of the axioms in the NFL is you just move the drill up 10 yards. If something happens in practice, you literally leave him there. They'll let the trainers deal with him. We're going to move the drill up 10 yards. We're going to keep it going. And then you realize that this is something far different. You realize that this is something far more serious. And that was the ripple that went through the general area of the Rose Bowl last night, is when it happened. And because there was so little information, and like you were saying, we've become so dependent on getting our news so fast and refresh it and coming through that it was the kind of old school word of mouth telephone game where, oh, he had died, which was not true, that he had suffered cardiac arrest, which was true, that it was a violent hit, which, you know, by the standards of the NFL, it was not. It obviously was an incredibly dangerous hit, but just that entire range of emotions going from, oh, this is a sports story, to this is a story about a human being in a dangerous situation.
Probably, you know, premature, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I think, you know, and we could say, oh, well, I've seen that hit plenty of times.
Sure.
You know, I've seen worse hits than that. That doesn't really mean anything. It's where in the body you're hit and what the impact is, and we are not seeing what is happening on the field or actually feeling what that hit is. I don't know if, I'm kind of curious about the technology and if there is things that will change in the NFL based off of yesterday, right? And if they've taken as much as they can. And DeMarco's perspective of it's less even to do with the safety of the NFL. It's how the players and the coaches have adjusted to the safety of the NFL. No, there's a way to hit a player now where you're not going to get a penalty, where the chances of that player getting injured is a lot less likely, and you're not leading with your helmet and whatever the case is. I don't know if things will change based on yesterday, but that's, you know, something that will come in time.
For sure. Let's try a phone call right here. Let's go to Will. Will, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's going on, Will?
Hey, Travis. What's going on, guys? Hey, morning. Man, I had a different perspective, a kind of similar perspective on both ends of what happened yesterday to DeMar, because I used to be a football player, played in college, had a couple stints in the league back in the late 80s, early 90s, and eventually I became a law enforcement officer, and you see, you know, the destruction or the possibility of injury and possible death, you know, on both ends of those occupations. Ironically, this comes on the heels of the Riverside police officer that was killed the other day just on a routine traffic stop. So in order to get back, you know, back to business, so to speak, like DeMarco was saying, it's a hard thing to do, but eventually you have to get over it. And I know I'm not trying to sound, you know, cold-hearted or black-hearted, you know, with the incident that happened last night, but you have to eventually get back on your horse and you have to ride. The situation with the officer, unfortunately, you know, it happened, but fortunately we have officers who can departmentalize that and get back on their horse and go back to work because they have the safety and protection of civilians. And unfortunately, what happened last night, you know, it was an isolated incident, which is just what it is, a really isolated incident. Like people have said, they've never seen that before happen in, I don't know, the history of the NFL. And being an ex-player, you know, I've seen guys go down and, you know, through concussions and things like that. Well, back in the day, there was no such thing as a concussion. It was smelling salt and get back on the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen that before. So eventually we had to get back in, you know, back in fight mode and get back on the field and take care of business. But, you know, I just hope people don't, you know, parents and, you know, people overall don't taint their kids from actually playing this sport, because this sport, I'm sure DeMar had, you know, has been taking care of his family. It pays well. It's an occupation that pays well. And, you know, fortunately he had the opportunity to, and hopefully he may have the opportunity to have, you know, again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to jump in on you real quick.
Appreciate
you coming in and telling us your story. And it is interesting, Al, because like Will was saying, there are obviously other occupations that are incredibly dangerous, more dangerous. But and it feels so uncomfortable to even say this, because it's probably a conversation better had a day from now, a week from now. Eventually, the Buffalo Bills are going to play football again. Mm-hmm. Eventually, those players on that team are going to go back out there and put themselves in a situation where what just happened could potentially happen again. And again, mm-hmm. like Will was saying, like we've been saying all day, this was so unusual that you've watched football your whole life. I've watched it my whole life. DeMarco, you know, played for 7 years. Kirk played for 10. And this is not an injury that you see frequently. This was that you see broken bones, you see concussions, you sure. see, but this was cardiac arrest on a football field. I have not seen it before. Mm-hmm. There's an incident in the NHL where Chris Pronger got hit with a puck in the chest that basically did what they suspect had happened to Damar Hamlin. He turned out he was fine. He continued to play hockey, you know, yeah. had yeah. a Hall of Fame career. But that's the part of this that is there will be something after Damar Hamlin, you know, whether he has a full recovery or mm-hmm. whatever else may happen from this point forward. But guys are going to have to go play football again. And I can't imagine being Stephon Diggs or any of these other Buffalo. By the way, Cincinnati Bengal players, too, they were out there. They saw it. They were sure. inches away from sure. it as well. Incredibly difficult to ask those guys to go do it, and they're going to have to go do it.
Well, and this is why, you know, I think yesterday and today are good examples. Yeah, that will come when it comes. You know, the timing of that, I don't think it's necessary nor critical for us to, well, when do you think they're going to play? Who cares?
Yeah,
you know, and I think that you are right, and the caller is right, that eventually they will get back on a football field, but I think that's all timing, and I think the NFL announcing that, look, this game's not going to be replayed this week, whether it's played again or not, we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah, we'll figure it out eventually.
And yesterday, whether you liked how long it took for the NFL to make a decision or whatever the case about canceling that game yesterday, they didn't play the game.
And, they got it right.
And we'll figure out when all that stuff happens, and we'll figure it out the appropriate time.
The timeline may not have been exactly the way everybody would have wanted it, but they ultimately got the decision right at the end of the night, and Damar Hamlin's health was the only thing of concern by the time that they finally pulled made the decision to postpone or cancel the game. The NFL said not going to be resumed this week, that this week's week 18 schedule will be played as scheduled. And like Al just said a second ago, they'll figure it out from there. A spokesperson for the Hamlin family was on Good Morning America just a little bit ago. You will hear that coming up next. It's Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN. So, Al, one of the things that I know that you and I have been struggling with this morning, talking about Damar Hamlin and talking about the situation that we saw last night on Monday Night Football, has been the fact that we don't have yeah. a ton of new information. Mm-hmm. As of this minute, we know that he is in the hospital in Cincinnati. We know that he is in critical condition. We know that he has been sedated. That is what we know right now. Now, Jordan Rooney, who is a spokesperson for the Hamlin family, he went on Good Morning America earlier today with Robin Roberts. You can take a listen to it right here.
We're going to bring in representative for NFL player Damar Hamlin's family, and that is Jordan Rooney. And I know that you're there at the hospital with the family. Jordan, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We saw your tweet. You updated Damar's condition not long after he got to the hospital. How is he doing this morning?
So I can't speak specifically on his medical condition. I will say is that, you know, he's fighting. He's a fighter. You know, I felt like in the moment there needed to be some clarity that, you know, he was awake at that time, and now he's sedated. So, you know, the family's in good spirits. We're honestly just taking it minute by minute, hour by hour.
And talk more about his family. How are they holding up right now, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean his family is remarkable. I mean they are a tremendous group of people. They're strong. I mean they're supportive. I mean they're obviously worried. Damar's very close with his family.
I hope that they feel the prayers that are being said for him right now. And how long have you known him? Tell us about the Damar you know.
Yeah, so I have a marketing agency, athlete marketing agency in Pittsburgh. I actually know Damar because him being a Division I football player reached out to me to be an intern for me, which is something that is pretty unique. And the reason why is because he's always interested in being an entrepreneur and wanted to build his own brand. And he interned for me, and then we just became super, super close. So now, you know, we're partners in a business together. You know, we collaborate on a lot of things. And we're really good friends.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you were able to make it there. You weren't in Cincinnati at the time, but you got there as fast as you could. So talk to us about the scene there at the hospital. We know that fans from both teams are showing up to show their support.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot of fans. There's been a lot of traction. There's been a lot of people coming by. You know, I think what's most important is to give the family their privacy. I think it's, you know, it's tough when you see someone on TV or you watch someone play a sport, you kind of, you know, view them as a human a lot of times. This is a human being. His family is very much going through, you know, going through a lot right now. So, you know, I think it's important for everyone to just kind of remember that this is a person and, you know, his family's trying to work through everything.
That's Jordan Rooney on Good Morning America earlier today, a spokesperson for the Hamlin family. And again, to be somebody that watched it on television, to be somebody that is a Buffalo Bills fan or a football fan in general is one thing. To be a member of the Bills family, literally a teammate of his, is one thing, you know, a totally different level. But when you hear Jordan Rooney talk about his family is here with him, like to be his mother's father's brother, sister, whatever extended family he may have, I can't even put myself in their shoes right now, Al, because what this feels like for you and me, times infinity must be for his immediate family members.
Well, unless you take a second and you know, like you just mentioned, you put yourself in that spot and you think of a loved one or something along those lines, it's impossible to. And, you know, this is what's crazy about it is this is happening to somebody who's doing something that they love, mm-hmm. right? That this is, take what you do and what you love. And, you know, we had a caller call in and he was talking about Riverside County, the deputy that was shot and killed. This was on Thursday, okay? There are people who put their life in jeopardy on a day-to-day basis based on their occupation and their job. And you don't really think of sports from that perspective. However, there are certain sports, whether it's boxing or it's UFC or it's NFL, it's a different type of physical contact where, you know, things can happen as far as injury goes. You'd hope that nothing else happens. This is a different one that I don't think we've dealt with, at least in the NFL, and certainly nothing in my recent memory.
No, so. It's a combination of all of these things, right? It's a combination of an unprecedented injury, at least as far as my recollection goes, yep. And I'm speaking for myself here, but I mean, we've seen catastrophic injuries in the NFL. We've seen terrible orthopedic injuries. We've seen injuries that have resulted in paralysis. We have seen things that look to be incredibly dangerous. You know, we'll use it because it's most recent. When Tua Tagovailoa was knocked to the ground on Thursday night and had that moment where his hands froze up and it looked like he had been unconscious for a few seconds on the field.
Can't get that out of your head.
This was preventable. This should have been handled differently.
Why was he in? How was he cleared to get back on? What's the medical, the doctors, the trainers? Yeah.
All of that. And you can be and look and say, hey, what in the world are you guys doing here? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the doctor, whether it's the team, whether it's, you know, I don't want to blame the guy, but Tua could have said, hey, listen, man, I'm not ready to go. A million different places to look and say, hey, you know, what's going on right here? This was a tackle that we'd seen in the NFL countless times that resulted in something that we have never seen before. It's difficult to process. It's difficult to try to figure out, you know, what happened. And we've heard from doctors who have said that, you know, again, this is all speculative because the doctor treating Damar Hamlin has not come out and said it was this, that, or the other thing. But yeah. People who do know things like this, cardiologists have said, look, if you hit the heart at just the right time, at just the right spot, that it can cause cardiac arrest, and it takes about 6 seconds for somebody to pass, which is what we saw happening last night. But to your point, the idea of getting hurt in a football game, sure. I think we all, when we turn it on, we understand that. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I think that's part of the appeal for a lot of people because it is so physical and yeah. potentially dangerous that there's excitement and risk involved in these things. This is an entirely different outcome that no one wants to see, that no one is entirely sure how to even process when you see it. That here we are, you know, 15, 16 hours later, and we still don't know yeah. what it is that happened or what may happen next.
In a world where everything is so instant and we depends so much on, I mean, we get information literally by the second. And when you're not getting the information that, you know, you're hoping for, when you're not getting information that, hey, can you give a, you know, it's, it, I wouldn't have been surprised, and I think this is just kind of goes with, especially injuries and sports injuries, you get some kind of information. Now, not like this, but you know what I'm talking about. You get some type of information that will trickle. Hey, this guy is, he's feeling a little bit better. There's some positivity, and I think because
he spoke with his family, he spoke with the coach. Yes.
Or as simple as we talked about when they're coming, even if they're coming off on a stretcher on an NFL, on a football field, that thumb goes up, that you're like, okay, hey. And I think because there's been so much silence and there hasn't been much information, it gets you wandering, right? It gets your mind wandering. And like you mentioned, these are just two people who are sitting here talking on the radio. Imagine if this was, you know, if you were actually affiliated and part of the family.
Kirk Morrison, who spent nearly a decade in the NFL, he'll join us about 20 minutes from right now. We'll get his thoughts on it. Plus, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, who has known DeMar Hamlin since he was a little kid. That DeMar Hamlin is a Pitt product, grew up in Pittsburgh, and Mike Tomlin has known him for a long time. We'll hear from the head coach of the Steelers. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN.